Blog Talk Radio.
Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast, and I just want to welcome you out here on tonight. So if you're listening in, if you're just searching through Blog Talk Radio, I hope there's something you would hear tonight that you'll be able to take back with you, that you can be able to apply to your life, something that will just help you out. And so right now, what I want to do is I want to talk about something here, because I'm while we're waiting on our guest to call in, I want to talk a little bit about what God is doing in these last times, because even with the situation that's going over in Egypt, and before I say that, I really would like you to, if you get a chance, to go and find the show that was done last year, that was done, a Strategically Prophetic Radio Broadcast that was recorded, and it was about Sharia law and the New World Order. The New World Order has been something that has been talked about for years. I believe it began in 1797. When you talk about the New World Order, you talk about the fact that it is a plan that world leaders and monarchies and presidents, world leaders back at that time, which were mostly the monarchs that had money, control, political power, and they wanted to find a system or a way to keep it in the family so that they can continue to have control over the world. And today we're in a process called globalization. Globalization is like the, I want to say it's a systematic unification or a systematic industrialization of the whole world. It's an interwoven pattern of business. And so today you see a business probably won't be able to really survive like it once did if it just stays in one locale, but that business has to reach out to the whole world. And so it is with ministry. You can't just stay in one area. You have to reach out to many people. You know, over is the day where people just try to reach one group of people, or people just try to reach one nationality, one people group, one ethnic group. You have to reach out to the whole world, and we really truly have to take advantage of the technology and the things that are out there for us to do so in ministry. Now, having said that, back to the New World Order, today what we're seeing in the world is we're seeing that New World Order come to pass. One of the things that I would have you to understand and recognize is, like, you know, like right now the government, not the government, but right now the United States dollar, the American dollar. One of the things the United States has been is a superpower. We have been a superpower for years. Our money has been prevalent in the economic system, as well as our prestige, our power, and our technology and our military capabilities. So in order for this New World Order to come into effect, a couple of things have to happen, and that's what we're seeing. The American dollar has to decline because it can no longer be the number one currency that the world uses. Not only that, we have to see a common goal. We have to see a common, quote-unquote, government or form of government across the world. And so in order for that common government to be established, or that common type of government to be established, you're going to see chaos in countries. And out of chaos that is started, and out of chaos that will be initiated and started, out of that chaos will come the birth of, quote-unquote, a new form of government or a new nation that will be made in the image. That new nation will be made in the image of the New World Order. And so politics today is very complex. And I said that to say what we're saying about Egypt. We have the Muslimic Brotherhood. And so for those of you that know a little bit about Islam, you should know that they have a person who is called the Mahdi. That is their savior. This entity or this individual is believed to come back and declare jihad on the whole world and take over the whole world and run the whole world. There are Muslims who believe that this cannot happen until the Jews are annihilated. So they are going to attempt to try to do everything that they can do, and they're going to attempt to try to do everything that they that's in their power to do, to try to annihilate Israel. And what we see today with Egypt, what is happening is, yes, this government is being overthrown, and we see that they have frozen this man's accounts. They have frozen his money where he can't do anything. But when it boils down to it, this gentleman is stepping down, Mubarak. He is stepping down. Egyptians are happy. But the question is, who's going to rule over there? And odds are it's going to be a Muslim or a political religious state. And Egypt is going to be that much closer to Israel. Do not get it twisted. Israel is still the center. Israel is one of the only countries that are remaining. You know, when you read your Bible, it's just a miracle that Israel exists. When you read your Bible, you hear about the Hittites and the Amalekites, and you hear about all these ites. Well, let's look today. Where are they? They came against the armies of God, and where are they today? All these ites, all these small groups of people, the Moabites and things, groups of people of that nature, they are not here right now. Why is that? But the Israelites are still here. The Israelites, at the time that God called them in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 10, I believe it's called the Table of Nations, he called them. They were one of the smallest countries or groups of people on the face of the planet. And we know that God likes to move in the minority because he likes to show his power and his strength through smaller groups or through minorities, because when God shows his power through minorities, the majority of his strength is manifested. God can show to the whole world that, look, this is how strong I am. I am the God of gods. I am the Lord of lords. I am the King of kings. God is the great I am. He is he who sits high and look low, and he shows his power through using the minority. This is why whatever God has called you to do, you need to press forward with it, because whatever he's called you to do, whether it's a business, whether it's ministry, the first thing we need to find is, look, what is the purpose in what God has called me to do? And anything can happen. With God on your side, you and God make the majority. That's what he told you to do. And so we see that God chose Israel and has showed his glory and manifested his glory through Israel. It is a miracle that Israel is still here. Israel became a state in the 1940s, but it was also during that same decade that we see one of the greatest historical finds in the world. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found. And I heard where one commentator said, the Bedouin who threw the rock threw a rock to find one of his sheep, and the rock landed. It didn't, it kind of plunked. It didn't land on rocks. And so he went to see what it was, and he found these scrolls. And some had said that has been the most miraculous rock since the rock that David threw at the giant called Goliath in the Bible. But that was one of the most historical finds. And then we have, Israel being liberated. We had Israel being at war for so long, all down through the years. And so one of the issues and one of the things you will see in politics, why a lot of countries want to come against Israel, Israel has been a friend to the United States. Lyndon B. Johnson befriended Israel. Israel has had a friend of the United States for so long, which I fear may come to an end soon, all in the name of quote-unquote peace. But Israel had a friend with the United States, and for years it's been believed that Israel could possibly be holding on to nuclear warheads, and Israel has not let the international community know whether or not it has warheads or not, and it has kept silent on that subject. But Israel, being as small as it is in the Middle East and being surrounded by Arab countries and these countries that want to annihilate it and kill it, with the Jews and Christians being the infidels, and anybody that does not believe, of course, being an infidel, of course, they need to do something to strengthen and protect themselves. And so now we have today, they're over there, they're fighting one against another, not the Israelites, but we have our Muslims or our Arabs fighting against the Jews for territory and for space over there in that area, for land that God gave to Israel, and now they're claiming that the land belongs, they've been claiming that the land belongs to them. There's a great struggle over there. That struggle is still connected to Rachel, who had Isaac and Jacob in her womb. That struggle goes all the way back, not to those two, and I'm talking about the struggle typified between those two, but it goes also back to where you had Abraham and his sons, Ishmael and Esau. His son Ishmael, that's the one I'm referring to, Ishmael that he had, and this son who went out and he birthed the Arab nations. They were wanderers. He birthed these nations, and now they're at war over there. They've been in conflict every since. They've been in conflict ever since. And so we're now in the days and these times where we're seeing all these conflicts going on. You're going to see more and more uprisings because in order for the nation of, not the nation of Islam, but in order for the religion of Islam or that Muslim religion to spread like it wants to spread and get into power, it must cause disruption and disorder and chaos in different areas that it wants to get a stronghold in. And out of that chaos, it's going to raise up the state and the image that it wants to be in. And do not be deceived and tricked. They just want a military state, a political religious state where Islam rules, where the Quran rules, and infidels and Jews and Christians will be ridiculed. They will be killed. If you don't convert to Islam, you will be beheaded. They will be killed. And if we look at the violence and look at what's going on in Egypt and look at how they went about doing that in a period of, what, about 2 weeks, I want to say between 18 to 21 days, it was very abrupt. And so what must happen as a believer, we need to know that, look, Christ is coming back. We are living in days right now that have been foretold. We are living in days where prophecies are being fulfilled right before our eyes. If you get a chance, I want you, if you go to my website, what I want you to do is on the front page of my website, there's a couple of links there. And I want you to take the time to touch bases with Rick Joyner's website. And he has a Rick Joyner has, there's a link there that you can go to. And then there's another link on there to Jack Van Impe Ministries. Jack Van Impe, he comes on TV. He is very prophetic. He talks about the prophetic nature of the headlines in conjunction with the scriptures. And so we see today that it is necessary for the believer, like never before, to understand eschatology. You need to understand the doctrine of end time things as it pertains to the Bible and according to the scriptures. And when we read our headlines, we must know how to put these things together. And then understanding what's going on in the world and in politics, we can discern the times and the seasons. We might not know them, but we can discern what time or what season that we are actually living in. And we are living in a time and a season where we need to be holy as a people of God. We need to be consecrated. Our ears need to be anointed with the blood of Christ so we can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, so we can hear and understand and know the seasons, and that know and that we can know that Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back, and we need to warn and prepare a people. We need to really warn and prepare a people. Christ is coming back, and the world is being prepared by the enemy. And everything that you see going on in the news, these things are going to be happening. You do not need to just sit down. We need to be more. We need to be more active in our communities. We need to be more active in politics. We need to pray more for our politicians. We need to be praying more for some of these organizations, but let our voice be known. And the church needs to prepare for what may be persecution on the church. It is time for people who call themselves Christians and say they name the name of Jesus to literally start going into the scriptures, and you need to take the scripture literally. We need to stop trying to just pull this and pull that out of it, because at the end of the day, Jesus said, no, they're going to hate you because they hated me first. And when you go before them, I'm going to give you what to say. Do not worry about it. They're not going to like you. They're not going to want to hear what you say. They're not going to want to hear anything that you have said. And when you release prophecy, they're going to look at you and laugh. They're going to joke at you when you release prophetic judgment. They're going to joke at you when you begin to say this is going to happen or that is going to happen. And they will scorn you. But God is going to manifest his word as evidence and proof, not that he called you, because, see, that's what a lot of us do. We want to preach and teach and prophesy, and we want God to confirm his word, not because God is God, but we want God to confirm his word because, oh, it confirms that he called me. That's a personal problem. Don't nobody care that God called you. God called a whole lot of us. Many are called, but few are chosen. So he chose a few of us also. So the thing is, get up off of your ego. We don't care. You need to have a mindset that God is going to fulfill his word because it's part of what he is doing in this last day and in this last time. And you are just a piece in the puzzle of what God is doing in the world. And so you need to connect with other ministers. You need to connect with other people, other prophets, other apostles, other people in other parts of this country, that you can begin to get a full-blown picture of what God is doing. that you can get a huge picture of what God is doing, because God is calling his people to consecration in these last days. He's calling us to be, say, come out from among them. Stop listening to worldly music. Stop smoking. Stop going to the club. Stop fornicating. Stop doing these things. Get in the Word. Let God keep you. If you're the only one doing it, let him keep you. This is the time for us to be casting out demons. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters. Get schooled in the Word. Get skilled in the Word also. Go forth. Release your faith. And do not let the world try to take your faith. The things that happen to you and come against you for one reason only, because it comes to try to weaken your faith, because without your faith, you have no basis. Everything, we believed by faith. By faith are ye saved by grace, is what the Bible says. So everything is from our faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It was by faith through grace that we are saved. It was by the hearing of the word of faith. It was the hearing of the message of Jesus Christ that we believe. We released our faith to believe and come into the household of faith, to become a part of the church. So the fight is to get your faith down to nothing. Christ said at the end, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Do not be tricked, duped, or deceived also by the different types of quote-unquote spiritual characters that you will find. And I'm going to use this for an example, because recently Bishop Clarence McClendon interviewed a gentleman, I believe his name was John Hansen, who is the author of the book Chicken Soup for the Soul. He interviewed him on TVN, and he asked the gentleman. The gentleman was talking all nice. He was using words like, and for those of you that don't know, you hear people use words like realization, actualization, you know, imagery, things like that. You understand that they're talking from a metaphysical point of view, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but you have to understand that there's two areas they could be coming from. And most people, when they say that, if they're not grounded, they are coming from a new age. That is what most will recognize as new age terminology. Is not just, you know, specifically, it's not something that just belongs to them. You know, it's not, those are not words that are just, you know, categorically used in just that domain by itself. But when I heard him say that, I said, okay, new age. So that being the case, Bishop asked him, so when was it that you realized that Christ was what you needed? He never said Christ. He never talked about his new birth experience. What he began to do is quote scriptures. And so speak all this positivity, believe in yourself, the God in you, your God consciousness, your mind, this, that, and the other. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there is something wrong with that. He never mentioned Jesus, and so what this gentleman was doing is one of the world's best-selling authors. I believe he said he sold 115 or 117 million books, and he used to carry a card to make affirmations. But what's wrong with that is this. The world glories in the fact that it can prosper and be prosperous without Jesus Christ. And so we have to be mindful, and we have to be warned and watchful of people who try to get success. They try to get salvation, but they try to get salvation without Christ. Not success, but salvation. And so he was glorying in the fact that he tapped into his own spirit and the Latin powers of his own soul and spirit. And he tapped into that, and he was emphasizing the fact that that's what allowed him to accomplish, and that's what allowed him to do what it is that he was doing, not Jesus Christ. And so he emphasized that people look inside themselves and tap into the power that's in them. That power was not the Holy Spirit. That power was their own spirit. And so they glory in having power, success, salvation without Christ. And that is demonic in and of itself. So we see that money is not the measurement of success. Neither is numbers or growth. So for the person whom God has called, if you're a prophet and God is moving you and doing some things, or you're in ministry, God is calling you and God is telling you to do some things, go with it, because the world will never fully receive the whole gospel of Christ. And there are many who are preaching positivity. They are preaching self-help. They are preaching humanism. They are preaching pragmatism. But they're preaching everything but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel, a word meaning the good news. The good news, what is the gospel? It's not his death. It's not his birth, death, and resurrection. That's not the gospel. The good news is that Christ came and that he died for your sins. That's the first one. The second one is that Christ was resurrected on the third day with all power by the Spirit of God. And that same spirit lives on the inside of you. That's the second part to the gospel. And here's the third part that people do not like to preach, is that he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. That's the gospel, is the death, the resurrection, and second coming of Jesus Christ, not his birth, death, and resurrection. The gospel is that he died for your sins, that he was resurrected on the third day by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, and that he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. And a lot of us don't like to preach that he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead, because if he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead, that means I have to be living something. That means I have to be found in him. And so every day you get up, you need to be saying, God, what is my purpose? God, what do you want for me to do? Because you're coming back. The world events are saying it. The times are saying it. The earth is groaning and moaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Things are happening. God, what do you want me to do? What is it that I can do to make this world a better place? What is it I can do to make the kingdom of God a better place? What is it that you want me to do through my ministry? And so there are different aspects that you can reach in the world. No longer just try to focus on just ministry. Ministry is who you are and what you do. Minister, get people saved, but have other avenues. Go through business routes. Go through the health and wellness. Do network marketing. Have some other avenues where you can begin to produce jobs for people. When they come in, you can begin to help people, minister to not just only their spirit, but their health, minister to their mind through counseling institutes, help them get educated by going to college. I mean, help them to get a job, networking, help them, show them how to be entrepreneurs. You can have different ideas on new inventions to make life better. These are different aspects that you are called to because the Spirit of God is on the inside of you. And everything that is, was, and shall be is on the inside of you by way of the Holy Ghost. So you believe with faith and pull on the spirit of creativity, God will do it in your life and around you. So the trials and things that you go to, a lot of times, God is using you to show himself to somebody else around you. And God is just using you because he wants to get you to another place in him. And he is positioning you. He is strengthening you. He is giving you skills. He is allowing you to be more knowledgeable. He is allowing you to get the experience that you need to do what it is that he wants you to do in the earth realm. So we need to focus. And these are times, like I said, in 2010, God had told me that this is a year of unity, that the body of Christ needs to be unified. Excuse me, for 2011, not only do we need to be unified, but churches need to focus more on missions, not only missions, but this is a season of prosperity for the true body of Christ, because everybody that says they're a Christian is not really saved. Everybody that says they're Christian doesn't know Jesus. Many will say, didn't I do this? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do this? And he will tell them, get away from me. Back it up. I don't know you. I do not know you. I do not know you. And the last thing that you want, and I paraphrase that, people, and the last thing that you want to do is to live your life and then have the Lord say, but I never knew you. Who? I never knew you. You did not pray from the heart. You didn't pray from the most holy of holies. You didn't do those things. And so I don't know who you are. Because you did something on Sunday, but during the week you were somebody else. You were a different person all throughout the week. You were a different person. On certain days you were different. On another day I didn't know. God, look, who are you? And see, we cannot fool God, and especially as ministers in this last day. God is calling ministers and leaders to be more real, not just saying, oh, I'm in sin. No, you should not be. You need to be the example. You need to show the way. You need to cut, rebuke, recant, refute, reject, cast out, cast down, build up, raise. You need to add to the body of Christ. You need to go out there and reach this world and release your faith and let God use you to touch a nation. Let him use you to touch a nation. And just let him do the work that he wants to do in you. There's a special work that God is calling you to do. And a lot of us, a lot of people, if you're hearing this word, and it's very prophetic, but a lot of people, you're doing things, and God didn't tell you to do it. You know, you sing, and you just think it's something cute, and it's a good thing, so you want to be a singer. Well, praise the Lord, but God didn't call you to do that. He probably called you to come over here and preach, but you want to go over here and sing. You know, just because you can do one thing well doesn't mean that's the thing that God has called you to be blessed in. And we've called a whole lot of things gifts that really aren't gifts. You have the fivefold ministry gift, or called the ascension gifts. You have the ministry of helps, You have the motivational gifts and the ministry gifts. The ministry gifts, where he talks about apostle, prophet, and he talks about the order. But you have your ministry gifts, you know, the gift of grace, the gift of healing, you know, exhortation. You have your motivational gifts, which also be some of those also. But then you have your ascension gifts. And the thing is, we call singing a gift. Singing is not a gift. You play basketball, oh, God, get you to do that. That ain't a gift. That's a talent, an ability, a capability. And what God does is certain things that we are skilled at doing and are talented and are capable in doing, God, when you get the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit will allow that talent or ability to be received as a gift because now the anointing is on it and the anointing is working through it. And so some of us are confused in talents and abilities that we think God called us to do that. Where is the thing in your life that God has gifted you and called you to do that will allow you to use it in these last days to magnify his name, to get souls into the kingdom, to save souls, to edify them, and to help prepare your ministry and others for the coming of Christ because he's soon to come. You need to be watchful. You need to watch the news. You need to edify your brothers and sisters. Make sure they know their word. Emphasize the memorization of scriptures because there might be a day where you do not have a Bible, God forbid. Memorize your scriptures. The word is to be on the inside of you. This is the season also in 2011 where you need to be off in fasting. We really need to be fasting to God and pushing away our plates and saying, God, what is it that you want us to do? Because a lot of us say we want the power of God, but we really don't want it. You know, we say, God, you know, we say, you know, God, I need you, I want you. I want this, but do you really want it? Do you really want the power of God? Do you really want the miracle signs and wonders? And when you answer that question, think about what you're doing in your life every day. Are you even praying every day? Are you fasting once a week? Are you fasting once, a couple times a month? What are you doing? Are you pushing away food? Are you pushing away water? Are you doing absolute fast? What are you doing? Are you focusing on revivals? Or when you go to preach, do you focus on edifying the body, laying hands, touching bases with people, casting out demons and devil? Or you just get on the pulpit like you're just all cute and want to teach, hype the people up, and then leave and get paid? What is it that you want to do? Do you just want to preach to gain members to your little ministry or to your church? Or are you really preaching to edify God and to see souls saved and to see people's lives changed, that they can go about doing the work of God that God has called them to do? This is how we change our communities. This is how we change the areas in which we live, not by staying at one church for 20 or 30 years. And if you are going to stay at one, and I'm not condoning leaving, but what I'm saying is this. Many of us just get in the church and stay there for 20 years and say, oh, God is good. No, get in the church. You get plugged into the church so that power by way of the church can begin to flow in your life. And then you go out to a world and you start an organization, a ministry, a business, and you take that which is being poured on the inside of you, and you become a conduit or a vehicle for that which is being poured into you through by being plugged into your church, and you use that to get it to the world. God wants to use you. There are a lot. We should be ministering. We should be joining together. We should be coming together in fellowship. We should be uniting our resources. Christians need to come together in this time in this season like never before to do more and more and more for God, and to do what God has called us to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And so when you talk about doing the will of God, it's not an easy thing. We make it sound so simple, do what God has told you to do. But when it comes down to it, it's like, God, you know, what do you want me to do? You'll think you know one day, you know, the next day you might know. Then the day after that, well, I got an idea. You might know it this day, and then something happens. You know, it's like, God, look, what do you want me to do? The Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. But look, there's going to come a time in your ministry when you're like, God, look, I need to know, what are you calling me to do? And God is not going to speak. He's going to let you walk by faith to find it out for yourself, because hope that is seen is not hope at all. Faith that you can see is not faith at all. Show us your faith by your works. Show us your faith by your works. Well, if you have been listening here on tonight, I want to thank you for listening in. I apologize. We had a pastor scheduled. We had a guest speaker scheduled. They were not able to make it in and call in. So I just briefly shared something with you. I'll go back in here and I'll change the title so you'll have this. Hopefully I'll be able to get the guest back on. I don't know what happened, but hopefully I'll be able to get the guest back on. I'll just thank you for tuning in on tonight. I hope that there was something here that you heard, something that could really help you out. I just want to encourage you to continue to preach the gospel, continue to reach the world. Find out what it is that God has called you to do, and do it, and do it well. And help somebody else. Jesus is soon to come back. Preach the gospel and teach the gospel.